Hope everybody's having a good day. It's good to be in the station this morning. Good to see Dave Blanks today. How are you, Dave?
Well, I'm doing excellent. How are you today,
man? Just to come in and sit down and trying to get my...
Just to hang out with me.
Notes together here and get started on this beautiful Tuesday morning we are thankful for. And it's been some pretty days we've been having, huh?
I agree. Really it has enjoyed. Been nice. But the forecast every day, because I have to read it every day, afternoon thunderstorms. That's that's been the way it's been. But today, actually, I don't think I mentioned of thunderstorms this afternoon, though. Yeah. It does look a little overcast.
I looked at it this morning, but...
What was it looking like?
That's all right. It's same what you said.
Same deal.
Starting tomorrow.
Yeah.
But that's good on the gardens.
That is also true. Yeah, we kind of have to have rain.
Yeah, we have to have it.
Yeah.
I lived in Idaho, and it is a job doing what we take for granted that the Lord does for us here, and that's just keeping everything watered and green, and it's a full-time job.
Yeah,
you
man.
Know, if you've ever lived anywhere where irrigation is the way to keep your yard, you know.
Georgia, not always, well, not nearly as damp as it is up here. Well, it's humid.
Yeah.
But yeah, irrigation is a big concern of a lot of farmers down there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Or flower growers.
Yes.
For that matter.
Today's the 8th. We're going to look in Proverbs chapter 8 today before we get started. And I will just say, last week I started a little segment on the subject of what the Constitution says about the militia. You know, I'd had a caller back in the winter, I believe it was, had asked about that. And I said I would get around to talking about that subject. So this is our little round to it, you know. So,
all right.
We've gotten around to it after a while. But first of all, I'm going to read out of Proverbs chapter number 8. As you know, if you're a regular listener, we encourage all of our listeners every week to read with us whatever day of the week it is. For example, today's the 8th. Get the book of Proverbs, get in a good habit of reading a chapter a day, and if you do that, you would have read Proverbs chapter 8 this morning, as I did, and so there's some things I want to share with you out of Proverbs chapter number 8. Proverbs chapter number 8, the subject, of course, of the whole book of Proverbs is wisdom, but in Proverbs chapter number 8, it is especially dealing with the subject of wisdom. For example, verse number 1 says, "Doth not wisdom cry?" with a question mark. And what it's talking about there, it goes on down through the next following verses. Wisdom cries with a voice. Wisdom cries out of the high places, from the paths, from the gates, the entry of the city. Verse number 4, "Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man." Wisdom is calling out. And it goes on down and it talks about, "Hear wisdom." Wisdom speaks the truth. Verses 8 through verse number 11, it talks about how that silver is better than silver and gold and rubies and all of these things. I'm going to start reading in verse number 11. "For wisdom is better than rubies." Well, let me back up to verse 10. "Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." And so in verse 10, we have, it's better than silver, it's better than gold, wisdom is better than rubies in verse number 11. But what I really want to point out is what it says in the last part of verse number 11. "And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." You think about that just a little bit this morning. All the things that may be desired. I went to Hickory yesterday, Dave. And, of course, when we go to Hickory, we have to drop by Sam's and get a few essentials, you know.
Sure.
And you just think about it just a little bit this morning. All the things that may be desired. People go shopping, you know, look at all the things. People get catalogs, look at all the things. People have plans and make, you know, you just think about that. All the things that may be desired, that's everything in the world that anybody would ever want. But the Bible says that wisdom is better than anything that anybody could ever desire. And there's two things in chapter number 8, especially about wisdom, that I want to point out. First of all, wisdom comes from His Word, talking about God's Word. Verse 11, "They are all plain to him that understandeth." God's Word is plain if you want to understand it. Now, if you come at it and, oh, I don't understand that, well, you probably won't understand it. Same thing with algebra. You know, if you come along, you put that letter in there, that messes me up. I don't have any use for it. I don't want to understand it.
Throw in the towel.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll never understand anything till you apply your heart, till you listen, till you search, till you dig. But once you do, God's word is very plain. One preacher that I've known in the past, he's an older pastor now, way up in his 80s, but he used to say, it's not the things that I don't understand in the Bible that bother me. He said, it's the things that I do. Talking about the things that he does understand, maybe that he's not doing or not applying. They're very plain if you want to understand it. And also chapter number 8, if we were to take time to go through the whole chapter, and I'm not going to do that, there's 36 verses there, but what this is talking about is, in fact, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of all wisdom. Verse number 23, just for example, says, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. And of course, here it's talking back to about wisdom, but it's also making reference to who was there in the beginning. Genesis 1 and 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And it's talking about the Word was God, capital W-O-R-D. And then it goes on down to verse 14. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have Him, you have His Word, then you are rich. You have what is more desirable than all the things that can be desired. And so a relationship with Him. There's a song. A group came to our church a while back, and one of the guys sang a song that said, I'm poor as a beggar, but I'm rich as a king. And he was talking about his relationship with the Lord. So I thought that was interesting this morning in Proverbs chapter 8. We'll take a little break and we'll come right back.
Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Hey, my name is Noah, and I would like to invite you to Vacation Bible School at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. Classes begin nightly at 6:30, June 13th through the 17th. The church is located at 1128 Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Club. For more information, you can call 963-4596 or 297-7470.
All right, we're back once again, and we do appreciate you listening in. If you're just tuning in, this is a Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast, and that's what we talk about. We go to the Bible, we go to the Constitution, we talk about our history, we talk about current events. Last week, I began a segment on the subject of the militia. And of course, I'd had some questions about that a while back, and I'll do just a little review today, Dave. You know, sometimes we forget. And I come this morning, honestly, I could talk for 2 hours about it. I've got so much material. There's no way, you know.
We don't quite have 2 hours.
We don't have that. We have about 20 minutes left or something like that. But a few weeks ago, I started talking about I referred first of all to the Constitution and the word secure. How is our Constitution? How is our Republic to be secure? I talk a great deal about the blessings of liberty, which that's the name of the radio broadcast, and that comes from the preamble to the Constitution. And right there in our opening phrase, we have the word secure. And if I can find it right there, it talks about we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. And then the next time we find the word secure is in the Second Amendment, which most people are familiar with. The Second Amendment goes like this: a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So that's where we started our talk about the militia. Last week, I gave the definition for the word militia, which simply means a soldier. And somebody asked, well, what is the militia? 100 million, that's the number, 100 million armed Americans constitutes the unorganized militia. It's really not technically right all the time to think about a militia as a distinct group of people. These 50 guys are the militia.
Yeah.
Technically, historically speaking, the armed citizenry makes up the militia. This is history I'm talking about. George Mason, he was one of the framers of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. He said this about the militia. He said, the militia shall consist of the whole body of people minus public officials. So the governor, the mayor, the president, congressman, they're not part of the militia. They are part of the government. The rest of the people, they make up the militia. And so that's technically, that's historically what it's been compared to. Once upon a time, I said this last week, the militia were our heroes. Paul Revere, Jonas Clark, George Washington was even part of the militia. John Hancock, Samuel Adams, people along this, these lines. But those days are gone. It's not politically correct to talk about a militia, to think about the militia. Many times in most people's mind conjures up people who are maybe Nazis, skinheads, violent, you know, things hateful, wanting to overthrow the government, things of this nature. That is not by any means what I'm promoting or getting at or anything like that. What I would like to see is the militia promoted in a good light, seen as something that is not evil, but good and necessary, a good and necessary element to a free society. So those are some of the things that I said last week. And when I closed the broadcast last week, I closed with the question, as a Christian person, is it biblical? That's the first thing as a Christian person that I need to ask myself is I go to the Bible and see what God's Word has to say about it. And I'll begin by saying today that instances of defense of life and property from tyranny can be seen all throughout the Bible and especially in the Old Testament. Today all I'll have is instances from the Old Testament, but it's fair to say that the first person or the first example of defense of life and property is given by the Lord God himself. And we could go to Genesis chapter number 3 and see where Adam and Eve had sinned, and God came to them in the garden and he told them what the consequences were going to be. He cursed the serpent, which is Satan, and all of that takes place in Genesis chapter number 3. But the last verse says, so he, talking about God, God drove out the man. And he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way of the tree of life. So the first one to use what we might say armed guards and firearms, the cherubims and the flaming sword, was God. And God did that to, he ran them, he drove them out of the garden, and he kept them out of the garden by supernatural, of course, a cherubim and the flaming sword. And I've said before, you know, that a flaming sword, that's what a firearm is. You know, a flaming sword, of course, not in that sense, but you see what I'm talking about, I hope there. That's in Genesis chapter number 3. Now, in the very next chapter, this is just, by the way, information we might say, the first murder in the Bible is in the very next chapter, the very next verses. Chapter number 4, Cain killed Abel. Cain had one religion, Abel had another. You know, the first murder in the Bible was over an argument over the Bible. So I realize it's a hot topic. It always has been. Cain killed Abel. He didn't like Abel's religion. He liked his own. He brought the work of his own hands. Abel, of course, brought a blood sacrifice, and they had an argument. Cain killed Abel. We don't know how he killed him, but if you study into the Hebrew language, it means that he violently slaughtered him, killed him. The Bible doesn't say if he used a knife or a stick or a rock or just his own hands or whatever. But here's the thing I want to point out. God did not forbid rocks and sticks and knives and whatever Cain may have used to kill Abel. God judged Cain. And the argument today is we need to ban guns. We need to get rid of guns. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. And people use and have since the very beginning of time whatever is available, whether it is a gun or a knife or a rock or a stick or whatever the case might be. People use ropes and baseball bats and bombs. And, you know, the list is endless today what people have used down through the years to murder each other. But we need to realize it's the people that need to be dealt with. And that's how God dealt with Cain. He judged him and placed a mark on him. And I want to say today, you know, somebody just listening in that doesn't know me or our area, somebody passing through, they might say, my goodness, what are they talking about on the radio?
Definitely.
But,
they would say that.
You know, I want to say this. For me, it's not about guns. We talk about that a whole lot of times. We talk about firearms, but it's not about that. It's about freedom. And that's why it is important. That's why it needs to be talked about. That's why it needs to be brought up, because it is about freedom. So the first example in the Bible, God in Genesis chapter number 3. And I didn't bring my Old Testament. I forgot it. I've got my New Testament here. But in Genesis chapter 14, we could read a little example over there about Abraham and Lot. And of course, they had split ways, went different ways. But if you read in Genesis chapter 14, you'll find that there was a time where Lot was captured by a heathen king. And Abraham, being the good uncle that he was, the Bible says over there literally that Abraham took his servants and armed them. He got a militia together. He got some servants out of his household together, and they armed themselves. They went after Lot, and they literally rescued him and brought him back. That's a little known, you know, something that maybe people are not familiar with. But if you read in Genesis chapter 14, verse 12 through 16, Exodus chapter number 1, we find Israel in slavery in Egypt. And Pharaoh says this in Exodus chapter number 1, and Pharaoh, he's a tyrant, he's a slave master, he is a type of Satan in the Bible. He says this, come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. And Pharaoh, he wanted to keep the children of Israel in slavery, and he did not want them to rise up. Of course, he kept the task upon their back. They had no free time. They had no life. They were literally slaves to Pharaoh, and he did not want them to ever be armed. He wanted to keep them in slavery. And I'll tell you who does not like armed citizens. The devil doesn't, because he doesn't like freedom. The devil likes slavery. The devil doesn't want anybody to be able to defend themselves against anything. Tyrants all around the world. I've mentioned this book several times, Death by Gun Control. And you get that book and read that book, you'll see that way in the millions past what has ever gone on privately between private citizens. Somebody says, oh, we shouldn't have guns because somebody might shoot somebody. The biggest murderer of people all down through the history of time has been tyrants, has been governments upon their own people. Look at Nazi Germany. Look at communist China. Look at things that's gone on in Turkey and Ethiopia and all around the world, literally. The United Nations does not want a armed citizenry. I brought an article with me today, and I'm going to share just a little bit with it from it in the time we have left. And the headline says, Bilderberg wants Americans disarmed and dependent on government. This is from June 7th, so yesterday. Bilderberg wants Americans disarmed and dependent on government. Somebody came in the store last week and they said, you need to check into this. UN Arms Treaty, Hillary Clinton signed it, et cetera, et cetera. And this goes back to last fall. But here's an article. Now, if you don't know what Bilderberg, or maybe you've heard of the Bilderbergers. Dave's shaking his head.
No,
he has. Most people have not heard of the Bilderbergers. The Bilderbergers is a group, worldwide group, but of very rich, very influential people. Most of the time, we don't even recognize who their names are. But for years and years, they get together. They plan public policy. If you do just a little search, a little investigating on your own, you won't have to look far to find out who the Bilderbergers are. Do you remember, I'm asking Dave this, he's in the room. Do you remember just as Mr. Obama got the nomination from the Democratic Convention, and there was a day there where he was supposed to be on the White House press plane. And they put all the reporters on the plane and they said, he's coming. And all of a sudden, Obama just disappeared off the radar. Nobody knew where he was. And the news picked it up just a little bit. And they said, well, he went to Hillary Clinton's house and they're going to discuss, you know, if she could be a pick to be the vice president. You remember anything about
that? No, I don't remember that.
All right. Well, that's been over 2 years ago now. Well, anyway, where did Obama get to during that time? He went to a meeting that the Bilderbergers would have. Nobody gets to be the president unless they have the blessing of the Bilderbergers. There's also a group called the Trilateral Commission. This is all tied in with the Council on Foreign Relations. There's a lot goes on behind the scenes, behind Congress, behind the power of the president of the United States. There is huge money in this world. But anyway, that could be for a whole nother broadcast. I'm just setting the stage. Bilderberg wants Americans disarmed and dependent on government. It says, as part of Bilderberg's agenda to Europeanize America, and by the way, the Bilderbergers right now are meeting in Spain. And just do some search on the internet. You'll find all you care to on this subject. Part of their agenda to Europeanize America and turn it into a socialist welfare state wherein its citizens are completely dependent on the government. The elite are celebrating President Obama's support for a UN small arms treaty, which many fear could be used to impinge on the right to keep and bear arms. According to Bilderberger sleuth Jim Tucker, elitists were celebrating one of their scant victories at the annual meeting this year, namely the fact that President Obama has promised to support a United Nations small arms treaty that could represent an end run around the Second Amendment. By encapsulating the gun grab within a treaty, the Obama administration could claim that no Senate approval is needed to authorize any such move against the right to keep and bear arms. Congressman Paul Braun, B-R-O-U-N. He's a congressman in Georgia. I don't know if it's Brown or Braun, but it's B-R-O-U-N. He warns that with willing one-world accomplices in Washington, D.C., gun grabbers around the globe believe they have it made. Braun characterizes the UN Small Arms Treaty as nothing more than a massive global gun control scheme. The treaty would force national governments to acquiesce to a global gun registry while strengthening licensing procedures so as to make it almost impossible for a citizen to legally purchase a gun. It would also ban the private sale of semi-automatic weapons and ultimately lead to the confiscation and destruction of all unauthorized firearms owned by citizens. American Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, echoes Braun's warning. John Bolton, he was at Wake Forest last spring, I believe it is. He's a lot of times he's on Fox News, other channels as a correspondent, but he was a ambassador to the United Nations.
I do remember him.
Okay. Explaining that the treaty appears to be aimed at the international arms trade, yet in reality, the real agenda is domestic firearms control. He said, I think it was clear from the outset that the Obama administration would move in this direction. The only thing that's surprising is that it's taken this long. And it goes on down and it talks about the Bilderbergers. It talks about the United Nations. It says, cynics have claimed that the treaty will only apply to terrorists or those who force children to enlist as soldiers. However, since the federal government has repeatedly made clear that it considers gun owners, libertarians, Tea Party activists, and basically anyone who is politically active as a likely domestic terrorist under the MIAC report and others, Americans would be remiss not to be concerned about the activities of an organization that symbolizes its agenda in the form of a huge anti-gun statue, which it proudly displays in the middle of New York City. And, of course, we can't see this on the radio, but go to the internet, look up the United Nations. In front of the United Nations in New York City, there is a huge statue. Dave can see it.
I've seen that before.
He's seen that. Of a handgun that is has the barrel tied into a knot. And, you know, if they are for peace and anti-war and all these things, why not a missile? Why not a machine gun? Why not a fighter jet? Why not a nuclear bomb? But here's a handgun, which 100 million Americans own something very similar to this. The United Nations is really ought to be called United Governments, because that's what it's promoting. And so I thought that was interesting. The Bilderbergers want Americans disarmed and dependent upon government. So we go back. Who wants there to be an unarmed citizenry? Those who would tyrannize us, those who would control us, those who would make slaves out of us. In the Old Testament, every time you find Israel unarmed, you find them oppressed and in slavery. Every time we find them armed, we find them free or gaining freedom. I've referred to this several times in 1 Samuel chapter 11, where the king Nahash, he comes up to Israel, and I call it the treaty. I call it this. He comes and I call it the "we can be friends if I can poke your right eye out" treaty. And Saul gathered a militia together to stop it. 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 11 says that they and slew the Ammonites until King Saul came along and established a standing army. They were continually oppressed. They were in slavery. They had no means to defend themselves. 1 Samuel 13, verses 19 through 20 says, "There was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, 'Lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears.'" Hey, if we can just keep them unarmed, we can control them indefinitely. So they wouldn't even allow them to have a smith, a blacksmith, somebody that could make a sword or a spear. Now, I'll close by saying this. If our world was a rosy, chutes and ladders, candy canes, cotton candy, you know, if it was just...
Canada? Is that
yeah,
what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If there was no evil in the world, then there would be no a reason to even discuss anything like this. But there is evil all around us. We need to be aware. We need to be concerned. We need to know what our rights are. We need to know how we got to be the great nation that we are. And it was not just by writing some things on a piece of paper. It was by what we find in the Second Amendment, the, you know, Memorial Day. It was bought by blood, our freedoms. Well, to thank the Lord for it. Well, anyway, thanks for listening in. Dave, I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming by, Wynn. Good to see you again this week.
I'm going to talk a little bit next week about Israel and what's going on. So,
oh, yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Fair enough.
All righty. Thanks for listening in.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty on AM 1450 WATA Boone.